Syria has once again complained to the UN about Saudi Arabia's role in supporting foreign-backed militants operating against the government of President Bashar al-Assad. In letters to UN Secretary General and the President of the Security Council, the Syrian Foreign Ministry said Riyadh is still fanning the flames of insurgency and turmoil inside the country. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss why the UN body does nothing about this flagrant violation committed by Saudi Arabia. Additionally, we'll discuss U.S.'s role in its cooperation with the Saudi regime in their support of these insurgents.
Groups fighting to topple the government of President Bashar al-Assad, both financially and by providing advanced weaponry to them. The United Nations says the crisis has so far left more. Observers have for long pointed the finger at a government which they say is funding terror cells to advance its agenda for the region, Saudi Arabia. They also singled out the notorious Saudi intelligence chief Bandar bin Sultan as being the mastermind behind the terror campaign which is raging on spills over to other countries in the region. The Syrian Foreign Ministry has sent letters to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and the President of the UN Security Council, Sylvie Lucas, saying that Riyadh has not halted its support for terrorists in Syria. In its letters, the Syrian government has also pledged to provide the UN Security Council with the identity of nearly 230 Saudi insurgents who have been killed in the armed conflict in Syria. Damascus wants the UN to pressure Saudi Arabia to give up its support for terrorism. Syria's letters to the UN comes as its army has managed to achieve a strategic gains against foreign-backed insurgents in recent months in their bid to liberate key areas from the militants. Some observers believe that the Syrian army's recent achievements have made Saudi Arabia try to compensate and further support insurgents in Syria.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. From London, we have a lecturer in Islam, Abu Barra, who joins us. And from Beirut, political commentator Ibrahim Moussaoui joins us. Gentlemen, welcome. Ibrahim Moussaoui, let me start with you. It's not the first time that Syria's complained to the UN. This time it says it has proof of Saudi Arabia's involvement, pledging to provide the UN with the identities of nearly 230 Saudi militants, if you want to call them, previously to have provided IDs of foreign nationals of foreign fighters, which the country claims up to 80 countries are involved. Doesn't the UN and UN member states have a responsibility to stop Saudi Arabia from this kind of support to these types of people?
Well, absolutely. The UN and the other bodies who are responsible for this kind of restraining or controlling or supervising, warning, whatever action they can do in order to stop the spillover and the continuation of the bloodshed in Syria, they are more responsible and they should be assume their responsibilities in this. It's not only the UN. When you talk about the so-called international community, and here we have to pass so many question marks about the international community and about this definition by itself. Now I believe we have, and everybody has the right to claim that this so-called international community does not stand alone and does not apply to its meaning. It has betrayed the very people who are influential in order to interfere in this. I believe everybody knows now that, and this is something that has already been mentioned today, even in the Independent and the Western magazine, newspaper in Britain, Independent, they said that a lot of international powers, countries, forces, governments, bodies, including the UN, they favor the Gulf countries, whether Saudi Arabia or Gulf, because or Qatar, because they are paying a lot of money. Now you're talking about the rich man and the poor man. These bodies are being financed by certain country and the state members, and they don't want to lose the help. They don't want to lose the financial support they take from here or from there. That's why I believe they fall short to assume their responsibilities. This is a production of the balance of powers. It has its own biases. Everybody knows about it. When it comes to many struggles, to many things happening around the world, take Palestine, for example.
Of course, that's a good example that you used there. But let's take one of the member states there, Abu Barra, and talk about how it's cooperating with another country that rejected a seat at the UN, and that's Saudi Arabia. We know about the fallout between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. And recently, it actually is said it received some relief when King Abdullah actually appointed Mohammed bin Nayef in charge of the Syrian file, taken away from Bandar bin Sultan. One reason they said it was a de-radicalization program meant to convert violent extremists to peaceful, pious individuals, as it was termed. First of all, what do you think about this development, and what about these violent extremists, which they are claiming they want to control the more moderate ones and kind of filter through and get rid of the extremists, individuals or insurgents that are on the ground there in Syria?
Of course, there's no doubt that there is a lot of interference in the events in Syria from all the neighbors of Syria, from Saudi Arabia to Israel to Lebanon to Hezbollah to Iran and Iraq and Yemen. All of those countries are interested in protecting their own interests and want to see a resolution for the result of this war in Syria that favors their interests individually rather than what is best for the country or for the people or is good for the government. And similarly, the UN and America, they have their own interests to preserve. They have supported and defended and protected Bashar al-Assad and his father for many decades. So now they have seen the writing on the wall that basically the regime of Bashar al-Assad is finished, is not going to recover from this war. And so they want to look to what is the best solution for them. And they're looking for another secular solution similar to Bashar al-Assad that will protect Israel in the region and promote democracy in the region and protect American interests. That happens to be in line with what Saudi Arabia wants, because on the other hand, Iran is interfering in favor of Bashar al-Assad because they want a pro-Iran Shia state, which is similar on the line of Hafez Assad and Bashar al-Assad, which is why other organizations such as Hezbollah and the Houthis from Yemen, they are getting involved. And they are, you know, similarly, they are the violent extremists in the region who are targeting the innocent civilians from the Muslim men, women and children from the Sunnis in Syria. So you have all these insurgents coming in, fighters from Iran, fighters from Iraq, fighters from Lebanon, from Hezbollah, fighters from the Houthis from Yemen, all these extremists entering into Syria in order to fight and to inflame the violence. And they are, of course, being promoted and incited by Iran as well. And also, Saudi Arabia does also want to inflame resistance because it's in their favor and in their interest to have a new regime after them. But the real, if you look to the real victorious party in Syria at the moment, is neither Saudi Arabia nor Iran nor America. This is why America is so afraid. They're the ones who are gaining ground and taking control, and they're actually giving the welfare and managing the affairs of the people on the ground. People looking to them for security, people looking to them to organize their affairs and be the new government, which is not something that is taking place from any other faction in Syria at the moment.
Well, let's see if our guest there in Beirut agrees. Ibrahim Massawi, do you agree with Abu Baran there, especially in the statement that right now the Syrian army and Assad forces are losing on the ground?
I didn't want to jump into the conversation and to inflame the debate with your guest, actually. With all due respect, I believe there is a lot of misinformation. I believe he is gravely misinformed about what's really going on here. It's not our estimates. It's not... if you want any involved in estimates, he can go to like neutral sources, and he will see that, especially recently, everybody agrees that the Syrian government is gaining more clout and influence on the ground. I mean, every one of us. I want just to tell him, and I want to remind him that it has never been our belief that a military solution, a security solution could be the outcome for the Syrian crisis. We have always believed in the political solution. We have always believed in conversation and dialogue that we should reach somewhere. Everybody knows that from the very beginning, we know major reforms should have been done inside Syria, and that we can talk a lot about the corruption. We can talk a lot about injustices. This is not something that anyone can defend or talk about, but still, the most important thing, I mean, everybody knows, you go for the liberation movements, you go for Islamic Jihad, you go for Hamas, you go for all those who worked in the liberation movements and the resistance movements. They will tell you that without Syria, nothing could have been achieved, and the Palestinian cause, which is the major, the core cause for all the Arabs and the Muslims, could have been liquidated long time ago without Bashar al-Assad and without the Syrian government. I mean, aside from all the reservations and the marks they might have against Syria and against the Syrian government. This is one thing. When he talks about Hezbollah and the others, that we want to establish a Shia regime or a Shia state in Syria following Iran or others, it's not like that. When he talks about, he puts Hezbollah, he dubs Hezbollah as